Okay, so we are holding an Ayin Dalet Amud Aleph, Tana Rabbanan. Seven lines down, Tana Rabbanan. Hayulafanav Mine Oichlin. Ah, this is the Sugya of Bayrer. And again, once again, the Kailim, when they start, they either start at the beginning of the parak and they learn the basic malacha, like when you have a chatos and karis and shagig and things like that, or they learn, it's a whole different limud that starts on Ayin Gimel Amud Aleph. And can is there the malachas itself? So basically all kailim go through these balat. Tana Rabbanan, this is one of the big ones. Tana Rabbanan, hayulafanav mine oichlin. If you have mine oichlin in front of you, many different types of food, nuts and raisins and things like that. Bayrer va'oichel, bayrer minyach v'lo yivra. The braisa is very, very unclear. It says you're allowed to do bayrer and eat. You're allowed to do bayrer and leave. But don't do bayrer. And if you do bayrer, chayev chatas. So period, it's the end of the braisa. So my kamar, how do we read this braisa? I was going to give about five explanations. Omar Ula, Hachikamer, number one, Bayer va'oichel lebeibayim. You could be Bayer and eat it as long as you eat it on Shabbos. Ubayer umeniach lebeibayim. And you could, as long as you do Bayer, you could put it down as long as you eat it on Shabbos. However, don't do it for after Shabbos. Ula macha lo yivar. And if you do, ve'imber, yechayev achatos. It's a deraisa. Maskevler of Chista. One second. If Bayer is usher, then why are you allowed to do Bayer? There should be no heter to do Bayer for later on in the day. Is it mutter to cook on that day? Is it mutter to bake? Is it mutter to cook for Shabbos? In other words, you're telling me the heter must be because you're using it on Shabbos, so it must be mutter. That's not mutter because it's mutter on Shabbos. Ela amar v'chista bayir v'eichel pachas mikashir bayir u'meniach pachas mikashir. Rather, says v'chista, you do bayir and you can eat less than a shir. And you're allowed to do bayer and leave it less than a shear. Ukashir, but if you do it a proper shear, then lo yivr. You can't do bayer. V'imbir, and if you do it, chay v'chatas. You are chay v'chatas.
Do you mean that there's no shear? Or that there is chatzi shear?
Yeah, exactly. Says the Gemara.
Chatzi shear is mutter for bayer?
Yeah, yeah. That's a good one. The Gemara's throwing it out immediately, but yeah. I mean, again, if we were tearing apart this Gemara, then we would say, what's the Havamina, what's the Maskana? But coming out, we're not going to take anything. There's no heter of Chatz Yishir. Says the Gemara, Kashir Levim. V'imbir Chayim Chatz. Maskav Lor Yisus. Same Kasha. V'chi mutul efas pachas mi Kashir. It's Aser. The same way it's Aser to cook half a shir, and the same way it's Aser to carry half a shir, it's Aser to cook, to debar half a shir. So again, we're not working on Havamina here. So the Gemara continues, Elam Rav Yosef. But that is what the Gemara meant. Elam Rav Yosef, Bayer v'oichel biyad. You're allowed to do bayer if you're doing it with your hand. And you're allowed to do bayer and do it for the rest of the day, as long as you're doing it with your hand. It says the Gemara, with instruments that are not generally used for bayer, but they are instruments, lo yiver, v'imbir putter, and if you do it, you're putter, aval aser, it's still aser. However, if instruments, a benapa v'kvara, with a sifter and a sieve, which are instruments that are used for bayer, then lo yiver, do not do it. V'imbir, and if you do use it, that's a chiv chatas. So that's how to read the braisa. It's mutter if you do it biyad, it's aser, but the middle line is it's aser, but okay, but not chayv chatas, if you do it with a instrument that's not normal, and if you do it with an instrument that's normal, that's the main iser. But lamaisa, according to the Vismad Amr, it's totally mutter to do bayer biyad. So the Gemara doesn't like this. Maskev l'Rav Hamnuna, midik kinoin v'tamchay katani. Does it say kinoin and tamchay? Where do you see in the Braisa a difference between the type of utensils? The Braisa should have spoken out the type of utensils if that's the iker. Ela Amr Rav Hamnuna, bayer v'oichel, oichel mitech, psoilis. One is allowed to do breira as long as he takes the good from the bad. And breira minyach. And in fact, you can go ahead and do breira if you are doing oichel mitaych psoilis. However, psoilis mitaych oichel lo yiver. However, you can't do the bad from the good. And if you do, then you're chayav achatas. Again, maskev l'abaye, that's such a major point. It should have been mentioned in the breisa. Miti oichel mitaych psoilis katani. Ela amar abaye, rather abaye says the correct way to read the breisa is breira v'oichel la'altar. You're allowed to do breira as long as you eat it right away. You pick up a nut and you put it in your mouth. Or you pick up a nut, you put it down on the table, but you're going to eat it right away. But don't do breira for after a little bit of time. And if you do, then it is as if you did breira for the rest of for a long term. So the heter is, according to Abaye, because it is there's no other instrument that's left. It's not the there's no there's no instrument that's left out of the Braisa according to Abaye, and there is no there's nothing that's left out. It's basically saying the halacha that it's basically saying the halacha that it's mutter to do it sometimes, it's usher to do sometimes. So when it depending on your intention of when you do it, it's only intention, and therefore since the only chilak is the intention, but the act is the same, Abaye feels that there's nothing missing from the Braisa.
You can ask the same question they asked before, like cooking. Can you cook for now and not for
later? Oh, excellent! So, excellent question. So the answer is, first of all, I just want to point out that the first two were thrown out, as the Gemara says, is that mutter? No, it's not mutter. These two, the last three, were not thrown out. Is that mutter? But rather, they were just, can the Braisa mean that? Because the Braisa is missing. According to you, the Braisa is missing some words. So therefore, the last three, the halacha is like them. And that's why by Beirer, you have to do all three of these last tenoim. You have to go ahead and take Davka Oichel Mitech Pseilas, and it has to be with Ada Keli, and it has to be Miad. As for your question as to that, is it Mutter to cook for Miad? The answer is that the act of Beirer, the line of the Gemara is V'im Beirer Nasa Gebeirer Lo'itzer. And if you do Beirer, it is as if you were Beirer Lo'itzer. Because Breira is Usr only if you're doing Breira L'Oitzer, and that's what's before in this Gemara, because when you do Breira for right away, that's not considered an act of Breira. That's considered an act of eating. The same way we don't consider chewing an act of grinding. That's all part of eating. So if I pick out of my nuts and raisins bowl the nuts, because I like a nut, that's not an act of Breira, it's an act of Oitzer. So the chiddush of the Mishnah is that if you do it even to menir, if you put it onto your plate, that's still called an act of eating. To the exclusion of cooking, which is, it's not an act of eating to fry an egg, even if you plan on eating it right away.
They discuss, you know, what the Borer was in the Beis HaMikdash, and how does that...
So, it doesn't really...
It's usually like, this is what was in the Beis HaMikdash, so that's...
Right. So, Beirer, it wasn't discussed in the Gemara, the Mefarshim discussing, and it was because it was done on flour after they ground the flour, or depending on if it was Sidur de Pas or not, but either after they ground the flour, they took out the nuts that were in the flour, or the stones that were in the flour. Alternatively, it was... whatever they ground, whatever the malacha they were cooking, they did. They would take out the bigger pieces that were not good. Okay. Amar Amru Rabbanan Kimei the Rava. They sit over this member in front of Rava. Amar Leishaper Amar Nechmini. Nechmini is correct in the explanation of the Braisa. But Lamais, like I said, all the last three, since the Gemara didn't throw it out by saying it's wrong, we pass like all the last three. If somebody has two types of foods in front of him, ubir va'achal, ubir va'haniach, and he goes ahead and he takes and he takes some food and he eats it, and he takes some food and he puts it away for later. Rav Ashi says masni pater, Rav Yirmi b'difti masni chayev. Rav Ashi says it's pater, but it's aser. Rav Yirmi b'difti said it's chayev. Rav Ashi masni pater. What do you mean va'hatani chayev? But we have a price which says chayv, and the Gemara says lekasha. It depends on how you do it. Here's where you use the utensil that is not generally used for breira. And habanapa of a kavra. In other words, Abai was talking about a case where you use the utensil that was not normal to use, and that's why you're putter. It was sort of like kalachar yad. This that Reb Difti said was chayv. Reb Yirmi Difti said your chayv was because it was. Was because it was talking about where he was talking about a different case where you use the proper utensil. Kiyasur of Dimi Amar Shab to the Bivi Havi. It was Rabivi's turn to go ahead and serve the Talmidim. It was the week or the Shabbos of his turn to go ahead and serve the Talmidim. Veikloi Rabbi Ami Verav Asi, and Rabbi Ami Verav Asi were there, and Shoda Kamai who killed Kolod the Peri. And he took a basket of fruit in front of us, and he threw it in front of us. He emptied the whole thing. He tossed its contents in front of us, in front of them. And we don't know. Why did he do this? Is it because he was of the opinion that even if you take oichel from psalis, it's still going to be aser? Or no, he wasn't doing it because of Shabbos at all. He was doing it because he wanted to give us a lot of food. He wanted us to feel comfortable. So he tossed out an entire bucket of food in front of us. Now what he did basically was he dissolved the mixture. It's only bayur if you have a mixture. But if you have a fork over here and a knife over here and you pick up the fork, it's not considered bayur. Chizkiya amar habayur turmusin miteich pseila shelahen. If somebody is bayur, turmusin, that's a very hard gemara. Somebody is bayur these type of beans that are called turmusin from the psoilus, he's chayev. Says the gemara, why? That the gemara basically understands it to mean that if you have some sort of bean in a shell and you take it out of the shell, so you're chayev. Says the gemara, why? Why you're taking out the edible from the inedible? Are you going to tell me that's aser? So the gemara says, shiny turmusin. The shalki lei shiva zimni, because you have to cook it 7 times. The iloi shakli lei, and if you don't take it out, misrach, it gets bad. And therefore, it's like psalus from eichel. So there's 2 ways to explain this. Either the iloi shakli lei, if you don't take it out right away. So basically, these beans are beans that you have to really cook for many, many times, and according to the first version of this Gemara, if you don't take it out right away, it's going to get bad. Therefore, says Rashi, since this oichel is on its way to being bad, it also has a din of psalus. So we have a din, we give it a din of psalus. In other words, you're able to eat the outside, but since if you don't take out the inside right away, it's going to get ruined, it has a din of something that's bad. So it's technically impossible to eat these things on Shabbos. Because if you scoop out the inside, you're really taking out what's about to ruin. So it has a din of something that's bad. That's the first version of the Gemara. Rashi's second version is that these are type of beans that you cook 7 times in order to make them all good. And after each time that you cook them, there are some beans that are ready. You know, it's a natural product, so not everything runs in uniform. And therefore, you cook it 7 times. After the first time, you have to go ahead and you see which ones are ready. So when you pick out, so the way you do that is by pulling out the ones that are not fully ripe yet, and you're going to cook them again in another pot. Therefore, when you go ahead and you take out the ones that need to be cooked again, you are taking out ones that are currently inedible, because you're taking them out to cook again, albeit these are the ones you're going to be ending up eating. So it's considered psalus. Okay. The hatoichin, somebody who grinds something. Amar Papa, Haiman de Parim Silka, somebody who.
Could it be that. What's the. Matthias of the case, you're cooking it. Either you're taking it out before Shabbos.
No, it's. So it's on Shabbos. It's on Shabbos.
You couldn't boil it later?
Yeah. Oh, so you're saying about Av Hachana or something?
I mean, I'm trying to go to Matthias of the case.
It's an interesting question, yeah, I hear.
Boil it on Shabbos.
Yeah, I hear the hara. It's an interesting hara. So it sounds like it sounds like it's a thing. Here. I mean, you're asking a question about tachana, you know, which is the rabbanan and whatever. It's not like so maybe enechanami. The guy is violating hachana. Could be, and we're just talking about his derisas.
Okay.
No, it's a good, it's an interesting aura. Hatoichin, Amar Papa, Haiman de Parim Silka, a guy who chops up silka. And he's chopping up these beets into, he's finally cutting them. Chayev mishum teichin. If he really cuts it up like a very small Israeli salad, you know, those where you cut up the vegetables really, really small, he could be chayev because of grinding. Amar, so what's the gether? What's grinding or what's cutting up vegetables? There's no real gether given. It's perception. When it's really small, then it's aser. There's no, like, you know, 3/4 of an inch or whatever. Haiman, Amar Rav Menashe, Haiman de solis silti. Somebody who, same thing, he takes wood. Again, this is going to be, you can ask again over here. It's muksa. Yeah, I hear, you're right. He is violating these things. He solis silti. He goes ahead, he cuts up these pieces of wood. Also, in order to get like small little firewood, in order to get like kindlewood, is chay mishum teichin also. And Amar Rav Ashi, he cupped a mishchasa, and if you're cupped on the exact measurements, you're chay mishum mechatech. This is sort of mechatech there. Vehalosh, vehaoife. A guy who does lush, he kneads and he bakes. Amar Papa Shavak Tanit, he done bishul samamanim. To have it by Mishkan. Here you go. This is what we were handling. Like what exactly was done in the Mishkan. Says Rav Papa, the actual thing they did in the Mishkan was they cooked dyes and things like that in order for all the dyes that were needed in the building of the Mishkan. So they cooked these roots and other natural place things to get dyes. Yet, instead of saying bishul in the Mishnah, it says oife. I'm not going to oife. And it says baking. Now, they didn't bake anything in the Mishkan except the bread. It says there, tanati dan sidur the pasnaket. Because he wanted to do you know the first 11 melachos is how to make bread, so he did eifa instead of bishul, but really it's the same thing. Basically, it's changing an object by a medium of fire, either through bishul, either through, you know, barbecue, or that's fire, or that's or baking, or okay. Amar Rav Acha bar Avira, Haiman de shoda sichta la atuna, chayv mishum mevashel. A person puts a peg, a metal, you know, I don't want to use the word peg, it's a metal piece in the fire is chayv because of bishul. I'm sorry, one second. Sorry, it's not metal, it's a wooden peg. A wooden peg into the fire is chayv because of bishul, because it gets hard. Says the Gemara Pshita. Says the Gemara, Mahu, the same Melishiru Reimanaka Mechaven. You're doing it in order to strengthen this Yesed. Kamash Melon Demirpi Rabbi. Kamash Melon, no, first it gets soft. The way this is going to work is that when you put this wood into the fire, first it's going to get soft. And as the water exits, after all the natural liquid that's in there is going to exit, and then it will become much more hard. So, however, says the Gemara, when it becomes soft in the beginning, that is the bishul, the hadar kamet. So, first it gets soft, and then it's hard. So the chiddush isn't how it works. Do they have a note over there? I mean, if it wasn't for this Gemara, I would have said that any form of transforming the object via heat is considered bishul. From our Gemara, it's mavur, that specifically if it gets softer first, specifically getting softer, is considered bishul. I mean, I remember handling this back when we learned it, but I don't remember the teretz.
They bring down, we explain the Gemara, which is like you were saying, it softens it. According to Rashi, Rambam, however, maintains the person is liable for the malacha of cooking for hardening a soft object through the medium of fire, as well as for softening
the right, okay.
The person should therefore be liable here for a mere act of hardening the peg. See Lecha Mishnah, Maginavos, Ileital, for explanation of how Rambam understands it.
Okay, I remember this big raid here, but okay. I just don't remember how we got around Razi. Why it has to be specifically that way? I don't remember the svara for it. Okay, Amar.
And the other note on that in this section, the Gemara assumes that the malacha of cooking is defined by softening the hard object with fire.
Right.
It's under discussion, though, the person is apparently attempting only to strengthen the
right. Egg, okay, so that's, but they don't speak about the svara behind that. Yeah, okay, so I was trying to remember. There is something to say, I just forget what it is, of why is it specifically softening it. The Chiddush of the Gemara is that it is softening it. That's the way you harden something. You harden it by softening it, allowing the water to escape, and then harden, and then that will harden it. But the softening it is what's the is the Isser Bishul. But I don't remember the svara for why that's true. Okay, Amar.
Any kind of softening would count. I'm just wondering, like, let's say you put margarine in the oven Friday night to this. I mean, I usually do this before Shabbat starts, but I'm saying, like, if you had done that after Shabbat started, would that count as Bishul just softening the margarine?
I would assume so. I think so. Oh, you're saying just keeping it there till it gets soft, but it doesn't melt.
Right.
You know. I mean, it's definitely usser because you can't even do it halfway. But did you violate Bishul? If it doesn't get hot enough, in mice it was affected by the fire. No, I would say that it's not a problem. Dear Isaac.
And the reason to say the Bishul is only by food?
No, that's a, also a Chiddush about Gemara. That is not true. Yeah. Amar Rabba Bar Rav Huna, Haiman de Artich Kufra, somebody who heats up tar. Chayim Mishum Avashal. Pshita again. Ma'u the same Makevin de Hadar Vekushe, since the Maise hardens right away, it's Emaloi. Kamash Malon. And over here, somebody's supposed to ask, maybe it's the Igle Tal, you can check your notes there, that what about water? What's the Chiddush with water? I mean, water also goes back to its automatic, automatically goes back to its original. Its original thing, and yet there's cooking by water that we know. So what's the chiddush? Do they ask it there? So I remember it's a thing in Igle Tal asks it.
Since the effect of the malacha, the liquefaction does not last, this act is considered only a toldo of cooking.
Right, but it doesn't say water. Okay, somebody asks that. What do you mean? We talked about water a bunch of times already. Okay. Amar Rava, Haiman da Avid Chavisa, guy who makes a barrel, Chai Mishim Sheva Chatois. He's Chai because of seven Chatois. Number one, Toichen, because he ground up the pieces of earth. And then he took out the Bayer, he took out the rocks that were in there. That's two. Then he did Merakid with a sifter. Then he was Megabel. He put everything together with water. He mushed it into mud that's lush. Then he smoothed it out. That's memareach, or memachik. Then he heated up the fire, and then he was did mevashel. Says the Gemara, if you make a tanura, you chayef because of everything, because of that plus, mishim shmerech, that's everything we just said, plus, you have to go ahead and do makab apatish, because after you heated it up in the fire, which, you have to put something else on it and in order to keep the heat. And that extra act is Makab HaPatish. Amar Baya Haiman de Ovid Chalosa, somebody who makes a basket. Chayev Achas Asore Chatos. He's Chayev 11 Chatos. See, I don't know what such a big Chiddush over here. Because like it's you're right. You did all the Malachas. Shkoyach.
Yeah, what's
the Chiddush, I think... Yeah, I mean, there are different halachas that we teach. There's a big raid over here with Rashi's Makab HaPatish and because of Boinen. There's a big raid over here. What the seven halachas are. So each Rishon is going to have a different idea of what the Chiddush of the Gemara is. But if we're just counting Chatayis, I think the biggest one you can get nowadays is like a combine harvester, where you get Chayrish, Zareya, Koitzer, Ma'amar, Daj, Zayra, Ber, all besides driving a car. And smoking while you're driving your pipe. So you get all those malachas at one time. So, but there it's a bigger chiddush. You do it in the same act of driving. Over here, you did a bunch of different acts. You were at it the whole day. So chalasa is a basket. It's chayav 11. You cut down the kanim. It's chayav because of zomer and because of kreitzer and noiteya. You gather them together as ma'amar. You took the good ones as bayrer. You smooth them down. That's mamachik. You made them smaller, that's teichen. You cut them exactly down to size, it's mechatech. You put up you set them up on a loom, that's mesach, and then oishas shetir batinigrin. And then you did weaving. So in all these cases, after the weaving, you chop it down to size, that is makar b'patish. V'ichayta lepume, and if you tie the top of the barrel, because you could have a barrel with the top layers just sticking out. If you tie the top of the barrel, so then there's another two. First of all, you're going to be tying, which is toifer, and second of all, you're going to be kosher, you're going to tie the ends. And finally, the Gemara says, okay, that's that. If you tie the top, then you're chayv 13. Like I said, each rishon is going to have his own chiddush about what the chiddushim of this price of these statements are. Hagoyz is a setzemer, somebody who shears wool of a malavnei and you whiten it. Amar Rabbi Bar Chanan, Rabbi Yechanan, hatoyveya setzemer shall agabi behemah b'Shabbos. If somebody spins the wool of the animal while it's on the back of the behemah on Shabbos, he's chayv sholish chatoyz. He's chayv three chatoyz. One mishum goyz is achas mishum goyz is shearing. Because eventually, I guess it will be sheared off. V'achas mishum lenapetz. One of them is the combing of the item. V'achas mishum toveya, and one is spinning. Rav Kahana Amar, no, you're not chayv any, because you didn't do it in the normal way. Ein derech gziza bekach, ein derech menapetz bekach, ein derech tivi bekach. That's not the normal way to spin, not the normal way to shear. Frankly, Gemara v'loy, v'hatayni mishmei derech menachem, yishotav b'izim v'tav b'izim. In the Mishkan, that's the way they did it. Because apparently, when you used to shave the hairs off the goat, they immediately started to decompose. Not decompose terribly, but the decline in quality. So therefore, they used to spin them into thread while it was still on the back of the animal. So we see that was the normal thing. Alma tviya gavi behema shema tviya. So says this Gemara, chachma yisera shayni. Chachma yisera shayni. No, it's not the normal thing. It happens to me that there are certain people who know how to do it. Very unique individuals are able to spin the threads while they're on the back of the animal. Tan Rabbanan, hatoilish es hakonaf v'hakoytmai v'hamertai. Chayev shalosh chatois. If somebody plucks out the feathers of a chicken, v'hakoytmai, is you cut it down. After it's plucked, you chip off the top, and you use that in a pillow. V'hamertai is you take off all the other hairs of the stalk, whatever it's called, and chayev shalosh chatois, chayev three chatois. So first of all, plucking it is goizes. Chopping off the top is mechatech, probably. Oh, Gemara speaks it out. Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish says, Toilish is chayv mishum goizes. Plucking it out is because of goizes. Koitim is chayv mishum mechatech, because of mechatech. Like we said, Mamar is chayv mishum mechatech, because you're smoothing out the... you're smoothing out the stock. I'm a bit surprised there because I don't really want the smooth stock. If I want the hairs for a pillow, so then, l'chayr, that's a bit funny. Unless it must mean I want the stock also. Okay, it's mamish, not my intention. Why isn't that a malacha shein etzvich l'gufa? Unless it's going with Rabbi Yehuda's opinion that it's malacha shein etzvich l'gufa, it's chayr.
They bring down the question, your question, which asks that if the Gemara refers to pulling the hairs off the lower section of the shaft, which is discarded, why should the person be liable for smoothing it? He obviously needs only the hairs, not the shaft.
Oh, Taza, yeah. So it says it's Rabbi Yehuda.
This is the Ritva.
Mm-hmm.
According to this act, is not similar to the malacha of smoothing.
Right.
But the hairs are removed in order to use the smooth skins.
Right.
Which why therefore refers to pulling hairs off the shaft so that the shaft can be used for making a hat. Such case one is
removed. Uh-huh. Okay, that's what I was going to say. That it was used for a pen or something like that. Or you could have said it's Rabbi Yehuda, the Malach HaShein HaTzvich HaLagufa. Those are the two answers. Okay. Continues the Gemara, HaKosher VaHamater, somebody who ties, somebody who unties, Kshir B'Mishkan HaHavi, where's the Kshir? The Mishkan Amar Rabba, Shekin Koshin, B'Yisaydus Ahalem. They used to tie the base of the tent. HaHu Kosher Manas LaHatehu, says the Gemara. This is Kshira that's going to be eventually untied. Because they're not there forever, and therefore you're only chayev on a knot that is a kesher shel kayama. Now there's a big raid in kosher what a kesher shel kayama is. So it's a question: is it in your intention, or is it your Is it your intention, or is it your, or is it the type of knot? Chayr, it's a raya from here that it's the intention. If they know how, I think it's the Rambam learns this Gemara. It says the Gemara, Ela Amar Abaya Shekein Orge Yuriyas Shenifstika Lahen Nima Kaishun, I say. Because says if you have Orge Yuriyas, those who are sowing, those who are the sowers of these big Yuriyas that were used in the Mishkan, if a string snapped, they would tie the two ends together. That's where they have Kaishur. That's going to last forever. Amalei Rava, Teratz the Kaishur, you answered Kaishur. Matir Ma'ike Lememar. What about Matir? And if you say that if you find that there's two knots that ended up being right next to each other, you would leave one untied and you would leave one tied. Because it doesn't look nice to have two knots untied, two knots next to each other. This is not a proper. This wouldn't look good to have one untied, just an untied thing right next to a knot. Ella Amarava, Vitema Rabbi Eloi, Shekin, Sadi Chilazon, Koshin, Matirin. The answer is because those who make the nets and they capture the Chilazons, they go ahead and they tie and untie their nets. And their entire net was made with knots, and every knot was expected to last forever. Sometimes you needed to take out a knot, Lamaisa, and retie it to make it a drop bigger, to make it a drop smaller. But when you made the knot, you didn't expect to open this knot again. Sometimes you're like, okay, let's open this knot. Yeah, they had hundreds of knots in the nets. And therefore, yes, we know we're going to untie some, but we don't know which one. So every knot technically was there forever. And then when you untied one, you untied one. Teifesh Teitvir is somebody who sews two sewings. Baholei Kaima says the Gemara, Teifesh Teitvir means you put one needle in and you pull it back out. That's not going to last. If you only do two, then you have to tie them somehow that it's not going to come apart right away. Otherwise, it's not a melacha shel kayama. Hakarei Almanas Lit for somebody who tears on to sew right away. Kriya b'mishkan mihave. Was there any tearing in the Mishkan? Rabba Rav Zera d'Amri Tavayu. Shekein Yuria shenafel b'darno. Yes, if you have one of the Urias that somehow got wormy, and therefore it got a hole there. So therefore, you had to go ahead and cut out that area, this way. Now, as far as I understand, if you just had one hole in the middle of a urea, and then you stitched it together so people don't see the hole, then it would make a nice big fold in the Mishkan, in the urea. Instead, now this is what I think they did. Tell me if they learned differently inside your Gemaras. But I think what they did was, in order so that it doesn't appear like such a big, in order that it doesn't appear like such a big hole, like a crease. There you go. In order that it doesn't have such a crease, what they used to do was they used to slice along the urea, and then just make and then sew that whole thing together. So it's crease. You know, sometimes you have a hole over here, so it would look bunched up together. If I sew these two parts together, it would look bunched up together. So instead, they make it that it was. Instead, they make it that it was. Instead, they make it that they made a line across. They cut across the entire urea, and then they sort of sewed it together like that. That there was no creases. Okay, fine. All right, so we'll stop over here. Baruch Hashem, we're holding right on schedule, and that's one of the bright spots about the, you know, we're able to stay on schedule. Actually, there's a number of bright spots, but this is one of them. All right.
Have a good day, Rabbi.
Yeah, you too, have a great one.